Perfect Stranglers contains graphic and explicit content suitable for mature listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everyone, welcome to Perfect Stranglers. God, that was a weird laugh I just did too, huh? Yeah. Hi everyone, welcome to the show. Bree, tell them what's up. Tell them hi.
Hey y'all. It's Bree.
Hey y'all. How cute would it be if you had a southern accent? I just feel like it would suit you for some reason.
Maybe.
You look like you might have like... I just feel... Let's try it.
I don't know if I can do it.
I'm just like looking at pressure.
I can't.
Use a southern accent.
I don't know if I can do it. I know that you don't like The Office, and I know this is our second Office reference in this recording session, but they do a murder party mm-hmm. thing, and they make Oscar try and do a southern accent, and he sounds ridiculous, and he just is like, okay, no, I can't do this. And I think that's what it would sound like.
Okay. What streaming service is The Office on?
It's on Peacock.
Oh, it is? I have Peacock.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I can watch a few episodes. Maybe that'll be my homework. I can watch a few episodes of The Office.
I think if you're going to do that, they should be curated. Like me
or
and
do
Nicole.
We like it better when Kylie's oblivious?
I don't know. I think that you should watch maybe some certain episodes because The Office is an acquired taste.
Yeah.
According to me, I would say. When I first watched The Office, I was like, this is the stupidest show ever. I don't get it. I don't think it's funny. I'm not in the loop. But then, like, I don't know. Once you, like, get to know the characters, you're like, okay, I see there's layers to you.
Okay, so here is my journey with The Office. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, when I lived with my roommate Sarah and my ex Anthony, Sarah would watch The Office every once in a while when it was on. Mm-hmm. And like her and Anthony would laugh about it, and I'd just be like doing my own thing. I've seen a few episodes here and there. I've never like sat down and actively watched episode after episode, but I have seen episodes here and there. And it's not that I hated it. It's just that it was like, take it or leave it, I could probably leave it, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I've never given it a fair shake of like sitting down, getting into it, and watching a few episodes to understand everything.
It's very like simple, subtle, stupid humor. Like you have to take it for what it is. Like it's not intelligent. Like.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it relatable to actually working in an office?
Oh, 100%. Some of it is like extreme. Like, it's like makes for like, you know, crazy TV moments. But a lot of it is like, oh my God, that reminds me of my coworker. I can't, like, you know, I'm sure that you have an Angela coworker who's just by the book and just, you know. Like, I don't know.
I have had those in the past. Yeah. For sure. Okay. All right. Maybe, you know what? Maybe I watch The Office tonight. Maybe an episode or two. Give me a list of important episodes. Stranglers, this is a really good segue into housekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Give me, DM, drop us a line, email us, contact@perfectstranglers.com. Put it in a comment section. I don't care. Give me the episodes of The Office that you think that I need to watch to fully understand and grasp the excellence that is The Office, and I will do it. And I will report back. Maybe I'll even video myself watching some of it on our Instagram stories so that you can be along for the journey. Mm-hmm. And I'll do it.
I think that you will enjoy it just based on how you enjoyed the, like, you know, don't mean to be a Borden Valentine card. Like, it's just stupid, simple, stupid humor like that. Like,
okay. Okay, and so, I do like Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah.
And I've heard it's... Okay.
It's pretty much the same, format of the show where it's, like, there's a documentary crew, like.
Okay. Speaking of cards, let's talk about what you found in your house.
Oh my God. Man, okay, so I told you guys that I was doing, like, cleaning everything out, doing the Marie Kondo, tidying up, whole Spark and Joy thing. I was going through papers the other day, and I found a save the date from Kylie's wedding. So that's a very long time ago. The save the date, it was like, it had to have been, it probably was sent in 2015 because the date on it said something in like what 2016. So It had to be 2015. So that's like about 6 or 7 years ago. So,
God, that's crazy.
I don't know. That's just a testament to how long I've saved some of these things and how much things change in 7 years.
No fucking shit. I don't even look like the same person on it either. I look like a completely different human being on that. And on the back of it, there was a "That's What She Said" joke. It said, I think it said like "I do," and then it said "That's What She Said." And Anthony for whatever reason, we thought that was funny, so we put a "That's What She Said" joke, and that's an Office reference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, Brie found my save the date. I think we sent it out in the fall of or winter of 2015.
Yeah. So probably, yeah, about 7 years then.
God, that's crazy, huh?
God. You know, it's funny. A lot of the stuff that I have been getting rid of, a lot of the clothes and stuff like that, is from around that time. So, which kind of makes sense, because the last time I did a big, like, overhaul, like, looking through all my stuff, was when I moved out of a house by UWL. And that was about seven-ish years ago. So, that was the last time I cleaned stuff out, and it's kind of weird. It's like a little time capsule going through all those old things.
I love it. Oh, you know what I was also thinking? And I think that our stranglers are going to be not weirded out, but just like, huh, who would have thought? You and Nicole have never met each other.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Sometimes I think about that and it doesn't seem like that because we all know each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But you guys have never met?
Yeah.
And that is so weird. But it's not, because it feels like you have.
Yeah. I mean, this is our second season. And
a year and a half.
The
whole time.
Nope.
They've never seen each other face to face in person.
No. Nope. I mean, I've seen Kylie in the past 2 years, like when you came back here, but I've never met Nicole in these 2 years we have been doing this.
Nicole has no goddamn reason to go to Wisconsin. So
not really.
I can't blame you. But we talked about congregating in a centralized location, which would be either Milwaukee or Chicago, prior to COVID 2.0 hitting.
Yeah.
We should do that.
Yeah. Except for Nicole won't stay in a haunted hotel with us, which is what we really should do.
Can we just like... I can't say it. Well, I'm going to say it because she's going to edit it. Can't we just get a hotel and not tell her it's haunted and then go?
Oh, man. You should have said that in a private chat, because now she's going to know. Now any hotel that we book, she's going to research it. And she's going to be like, so sorry, I can't go.
I can't go. Nicole, come on. Do it for the podcast. Our stranglers would love it. Our listeners would love it. And listen, I will stay in the haunted room. You don't have to stay in the haunted room. And it'll be all fine. I can handle it. That's it.
I mean, we'll all be there. Like, I was going to say we can bring sage. We don't want to do that. We'll get charged for smoking in the room.
We'll get charged for it. And demonic entities don't like sage.
That stuff
lingers.
It just
pisses them off. So there's that. I'm not making it any better. I'm making it worse. Okay. I'm going to finish housekeeping and then we're going to get to your case.
Okay.
Tell me your office episodes. If you want to do that, go to Facebook at Perfect Stranglers, a true crime podcast. Instagram is at Perfect_Stranglers and Twitter is at Perf Stranglers. If you listen on Spotify, please give us a 5 stars on there because you can now do that. And don't forget to, if you go on our link tree in our bio on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and you click that little link tree thing, we actually have a collaborative playlist now that you can go ahead and add your own favorite songs to that we would love to hear. It's called the Perfect Stranglers Mixtape, so go ahead and check that out. And then on Apple, give us that 5-star rating as well and leave a review, and that's going to help us get noticed by other people who love the true crime genre. And you know what? Share the podcast with your friends and family. If they like true crime or do they just like podcasts, have them give us a try. And yeah. That's that on that. Bree, what are we doing?
We have some ghost stories today, some celebrity ghost stories.
Ooh, how on par with what we were just chatting about.
Yeah, for real. So I have picked a few good ones. The first story is from Dee Snider from Twisted Sister.
Wait. Oh, really? Yeah. I don't know why for at first, for whatever reason, I was like, oh, Sebastian Bach, but no, Dee Snider.
If I can ever find one from Sebastian Bach, I will definitely tell you his ghost story, but I haven't come across one yet. All right. Okay. So before this story happens, Dee Snider was a skeptic, and when he experienced the paranormal firsthand, it made him a believer. So he has this... he had this brother-in-law, Vinny, who was on a dark path, but he cleaned up his act and he left his old life behind him. In 2003, he was shot to death on the way to work in Midtown Manhattan by someone from his past. Vinny's family and the police both knew who did it, but they could not find enough evidence to make an arrest. So Dee's wife was just frustrated and devastated that she knew who did this to her brother, but they couldn't do a thing about it. So after Vinny died, strange things started happening, like picture frames falling off the walls. But at this point, Dee was still just attributing it to everyday events, just things that happen sometimes. There would also... there'd be no one around, and they'd hear a crash and go find another picture frame on the floor that had fallen off the wall. And his wife would say, "That's Vinny. He's trying to communicate with me." She thought this was a sign that he wanted her to press forward and to work harder to try and bring Vinny's killer to justice. It was consuming a great deal of her time and energy for months. Mm-hmm. Dee says that one of the weirder things that happened was one night they came home from going out to dinner, and they walked in the house. They heard their son's drum set from upstairs in his bedroom, and he was with them. So he was mad because he thought that his younger brother Cody playing his drum set up in his room, and he got on the intercom and he said, "Cody, get off my drum set." And Cody came out of a room on the same level of the house that they were all on. And he was like, "What are you talking about? I'm not on your drum set." And there was nobody else home. There wasn't anybody upstairs when they went to look. So,
that's creepy.
Yeah. So even, after this incident, Dee was not ready to accept that this was something paranormal. His wife, however, was, taking all of these events as signs that Vinny was not at rest and that he needed her help to somehow be at peace. So she started, reading a lot about the paranormal, and one of the books, suggested that you speak out loud to the spirit and ask them to give you a sign to confirm that it's really them. So they were in their bedroom with the TV on, and she started talking to Vinny. She said, "Vinny, if that's you that's been making all of this stuff happen in the house, then show me a sign. Make something happen with the TV." And just turned off immediately when she said that. like, it was not a delayed reaction. She just said, make something happen with the TV, and boom, it turned off.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah. So she said that she wanted to see a psychic, and she had seen psychics before, and Dee told her that if she was going to see a psychic, that she needed to see a real psychic. So this was a very different experience from the psychics that she had seen in the past. This psychic that they saw was not like a warm and welcoming psychic. He didn't even like look at them when doing the reading. He didn't look them in the eye at all. He had a pad of paper, and he wasn't even looking at the pad of paper. He was just like scrawling away with a pen on a pad of paper the entire time, and telling them what Vinny was telling him. Vinny said, move on. I'm happier now. Let it go. After this psychic session, Dee's wife, Suzette, was extremely angry. She thought it was a bunch of bullshit because he didn't tell her what she was expecting to hear. She was expecting to be told to continue to pursue justice, and they recorded this whole session on tape. So they went home with the tape, and Dee
Audio or visual?
Audio tape. Cassette tape. And Dee went home with this tape, and he listened to it again, and he transcribed the entire psychic session for her. And when he finished, he handed her the transcript, and he said, here, read this. All of the answers to all your questions are there. And it said, let it go. There's nothing else you can do. It will all come out in the wash. And so a few nights later, the whole family was watching TV in the living room. And from the couch, Dee sees someone walk past past the living room down the hall. And it was a man with dark hair. Dee went running down the hall to see who this intruder was. And there was nobody there. So the entire family saw this happen, actually. So they all compared the description of what they saw, and they all saw the same thing, and they are sitting there talking about it, and they realize that they just saw Vinny leave. Like, that's what they figured out, is they saw the spirit of Vinny leave their house. So after this, all paranormal events in the house stopped, and Suzette was finally at ease because she knew it was Vinny communicating with her and then moving on to the next journey of his soul. And years later, the person who murdered Vinny was arrested for something else. So it all came out in the wash, just like Vinny said. And his killer was no longer roaming the streets.
That is creepy. I want to know the psychic they went to, because that's what I want. I want a mean psychic who just gets down to business.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and he said they didn't tell the psychic anything at all ahead of time. Like, it was just, yeah.
That is wild. Okay. That's creepy. Yeah. I like it.
So, next story. And I was trying to have, like, a theme of, like, rock stars ghost stories with this one. Mm-hmm. So, I have one from Vince Neil. From Motley Crue. And I was gonna do one from Alice Cooper, which also involved Joe Perry. I might save that one for a different time if you guys like these and are interested in them. So this one is Vince Neil.
I like them and I'm interested.
Okay. Well, this one's Vince Neil. Yeah. And then I have another one, another story after Vince Neil. So Vince Neil grew up in the late 70s, early 60s in a normal house in the San Gabriel Mountains of Southern California in a town called Glendora. He had a bedroom in the front of the house, normal kid's room with a twin-size bed and small closet with a single light bulb on a pole chain in it. He says that he had model cars in there. He had blacklight posters in his room. Cool stuff like that. But despite all that, The young neighborhood kids that his sister would babysit at their house would never want to come in his room. It was, his room had, was like bad juju. They were afraid of his room. And there was even a baby in the house at one point, and it cried every time it got close to or was in his bedroom. And every night he would shut the closet door in his room, turn the light off, and he'd wake up and the light would be on and the closet door would be open. And at times he thought that he just forgot to shut the closet door. And sometimes he'd even get up in the middle of the night to shut the light off and close the door again. So that's kind of how things started. Just small, weird things like that. Mm-hmm. And soon enough, it escalated. So when Vince would get into bed and go to sleep, as soon as his head would hit the pillow, he would hear like people having a party, like talking loudly, cheering one another, laughing, music, that sort of thing. And if he would lift his head up, it be silent. Yeah. So it was only like when he was laying down, he would hear all this. But, you know, as soon as he would try and get up and find the source of the noise, it'd be gone. Lay back down.
That's bizarre.
Hear the party again. So it got to the point where he would try and stay up as late as he could. So he would just fall asleep from exhaustion and like not be bothered by the like sounds of this ghostly party.
Yeah.
So constantly each night it would go this way until one night all of a sudden he heard the music in the party or whatever in one ear, and he heard a man's voice in the other ear. He couldn't make out like what the guy was saying. It was kind of a mumble, but he could tell it was a man's voice, and it sounded like it was right next to him, like kneeling down by his bed.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So this really scared him. He jumped up and turned the lights on in his room, but there was nobody there. He ran to his parents' room and woke up his dad and told him that he thinks that there's a man in his room, and he thinks that this old man might be living in his closet. And Vince's dad was kind of mad at him for waking him up, because he was a working man who went to work every morning at 5 a.m. and, you know, his dad checked his room and found nothing. So the next night, it was about 3 a.m. He opened his eyes for pretty much no reason, really. He was laying in his bed in his room, and he started to see the closet door open. Yeah. So, I mean, it would open on its own, but he never had seen it before this. And in the closet, when the door was open, he saw a man's face in the closet. It was a face of an old man with a scraggly beard, but he was nicely dressed. He had a nice dress shirt and pants on, but he appeared all gray. His hair was gray, his skin was gray, his clothes were gray. He just was completely gray. So he ran to his parents' room, scared, and woke up his dad again. This was a night after he woke up his dad before. And he woke up his dad, told him that there was this old man in his closet. His parents didn't believe him when this stuff was going on. They were not experiencing anything like this themselves in the house. And he slept on the couch for a few days after that because he was scared to go back in his room. And a little while later, his aunt Nellie, his mom's sister, came to visit. And she was, Aunt Nellie was psychic. She pulled him aside and
she was.
Yeah. She pulled him aside and she asked him if there was something going on in his room. And he told her that there was. And she said that she could tell the minute she walked into the house. His parents weren't really into all of this, but they humored her and they allowed her to do what she does. So she closed herself in this bedroom for a long time. And after a while, she came out and she said that it was indeed the spirit of an old man in there and that he had died in that room. She said that he didn't mean any harm. And what happened involving his death was that there was a party going on and he decided to go upstairs in this bedroom and lie down. And his cigarette caught the bed on fire and he died as this loud party was going on downstairs. His aunt tried to do some research on the house and she found that the bedroom had been a remodel due to fire damage. So after that, after Aunt Nellie communicated with the spirit, Vince never saw or heard of the spirit again in his room. He had a sense that old man just wanted to be recognized, that he was there and that he died in this room. And Vince was just so happy to have his experiences validated by his aunt. Yeah. So after that, the whole house was at peace. So.
Wow. That's bizarre.
Yeah. So I don't know that they ever corroborated like what the guy's name was or anything, but it was a remodel due to the fire damage. So story kind of goes. All right. So the last story.
That's bizarre.
Is.
Did you save best for last?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
So last story is
your style.
From Cassandra Peterson. You might know her as Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Mm. I love her.
Yeah.
All right. So one day, as Elvira or Cassandra, that's her actual name. She took her regular walk through her neighborhood in the Hollywood Hills and she saw a chicken and she thought that was strange to see. And so she started following this chicken to see where it was going. And she was crawled on her hands and knees through these bushes following this chicken and to see where it would go. And there was this huge Victorian house behind these overgrown bushes and the whole yard was overgrown. And she had never known that this house even existed back there, even though she walked past it almost every day. She never noticed it because of how overgrown it was. So there was also a for sale sign there, and it looked like a really magical, mystical, dark place. And being Elvira, she was kind of into that. So she bought this house. It was a 1905 craftsman style house with a huge Olympic sized pool in the backyard, but it had fallen into some serious disrepair. So they were moving in. They were doing renovations, moving in. They hired movers, and she told the movers, don't put anything up on the third floor because we're not sure what we're doing up there yet. So just don't go up there or don't put things up there. So she went about unpacking some things. She started to hear pounding above her. She was on the second floor. So she was thinking that the movers couldn't follow directions, and she called up the stairs, annoyed. Hey, who's up there? You know, we don't want anything up there. But there was no reply, so she went up there. And there wasn't anybody up there at all, actually. So soon after that is a hot day, and she decided to get in the pool. She kept seeing a dark shadow in the deep end of the pool near the bottom. And she pointed it out to her husband, and her husband saw it too. It looked like a figure about the size of a person, and they both saw it, but there was nothing in the pool, and there was no explanation as to what this was. A while later, she was upstairs getting ready for a dinner party that they were holding at the house. And she heard something downstairs and went down to check, thinking that it was somebody that arrived early. When she got downstairs, she saw a man sitting in her wingback chair in front of the fireplace. He had nice clothes on and slicked back hair and a big mustache. And she wasn't too shocked or startled because she didn't recognize him, but she thought that maybe he was a guest of a friend who had come to the party. Just got there early or whatever. And she said, "Hello, who are you?" And he turned and looked at her very intensely, but he didn't say anything, and it made her very uneasy. And she turned her head to shout up the stairs to call to her husband. And when she looked back again, the man who was just sitting there was gone. Like, in the split second that she just turned her head away to call upstairs to her husband.
Oh, my God.
So she was very scared and very shaken by this. And normally she does not scare easily. So her husband was like had no doubts that she saw what she saw a ghost or whatever. And so she had these neighbors. They were a couple in their 90s, and they knew a lot about the history of her house. So they had a lot of stories about the original owner and his wife, and they told her that there was a party there in the house sometime in the 20s. Many of the celebrities of the day were invited, and at this party, a lot of the guests at this 1920s party with the original owner were staying there from out of town. And the husband, the previous owner of the house, caught his wife cheating with one of the guests in one of the bedrooms. And the husband and the guests started yelling and tussling, and the guest ran out of the house. And the owner of the house grabbed his gun as the man was running away from him, and he shot the man, and he was found floating in the pool in the backyard. And yes, so the owner who shot the guy was never charged. He had friends in high places, and he was never brought to justice. And so the last straw for Cassandra was an experience she had while entertaining her six-year-old niece. Her niece wanted to play in the backyard, and while she did, Cassandra was in the pool, just swimming around, floating, and just daydreaming. And out of nowhere, she felt something push her down into the pool, like she was floating on top, pushed her down into the water, and it was just like clawing at her face and her back, and she was desperately trying to get to the surface, but no matter how hard she tried, she couldn't because of she was being clawed and held down in the water, and she started to think that she would die in the pool. She couldn't touch the bottom, and she couldn't get her head above the surface, and the next thing she knew, her niece was there with a blow-up rubber raft, and she was able to grab a hold of it and get out. She had scratch marks all over her back and her neck and shoulders and her face. She was bleeding from this, and crying and coughing, and she was really scared, but she credits her niece Paige with saving her life. So she was just trying to process all of her experiences in the house. And she decided that she thinks that the man in the chair in the house was definitely the man who was murdered by the previous owner. And after all that happened, like, she moved out. She told her husband she doesn't care how much money that they lose on the house. She wants out. And they moved out. And she just couldn't stay there anymore. Which I don't blame her. When a ghost tries to drown you and draws blood from scratching you, that's a little too much for me.
That is too much for anyone.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Even Elvira.
Yeah, even Elvira. Holy shit, Brie. Yeah. Those were some good ghost stories.
Yeah. I liked them. There's a couple of shows that I get them from. Like a handful of shows that have like celebrities telling their ghost stories, and a lot of them are like celebrities, like air quotes, where they have like, to tell like you.
D-listers.
Yeah. Like there they have to tell you like where you might know them from. Like,
oh yeah, that type of celebrity. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like I don't know. There's some like B-listers and there's some like definitely C-listers where it's like I have no idea what movie you were in, but like there's like, to give you an example of some of like the B-listers, there's like Anna Ortiz, who was Ugly Betty's older sister in the show. Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, it's just like some random people who were willing to share their story. But then there's also some like really like, you know, I don't know, like Marilyn Manson did one. He's very problematic, as we know now, but his story was pretty crazy.
But people know who Marilyn Manson is, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know, Rue McClanahan, Blanche from The Golden Girls. She did it. Beverly D'Angelo, who was the mom from the Christmas Vacation, the Griswolds.
Oh, yep, yep.
She had one, too. Like, there's some actual, like, there's some good ones. There's some people that you would recognize. But, like, I just watched, I can't remember what the show was, but it's a newer show, and, like, Amber Rose was on there. Like, the model Amber Rose.
Well, she's, like, I would consider her B-list. Like, people who know Amber Rose think she's a big deal, but she's not really a big deal, that type of thing.
But she's, like, a more, like, current person, where, like, most of these with, like, the celebrity ghost stories, like, the show called Celebrity Ghost Stories are, like, I'm sorry to say they're has-beens. Like,
they're 80s and 90s sitcom stars.
Right. That's where I got the Tracy Gold story with the reincarnation, with the little boy waiting to be born.
That one was weird.
Yeah.
All right. I like it, Brie. I like your style.
This may be a regular installment that we do every so often. Some celebrity ghost stories. Yeah,
it's good to shake things up with a nice little ghost story as opposed to just weird crimes and murder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have, speaking of, I was going through my list of things that I want to do. And, you know, my recent two movies that I've watched that are horror movies.
Conjuring.
I kind of want to dig a little bit more into the Warrens and do another Warren case.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking of doing Annabelle the Doll.
Okay.
I'm thinking of doing that. And I also still have Skinwalkers on my list to do at some point.
Yep. What are those Skinwalkers?
They are, they are a Navajo.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're a Navajo. It's not a myth. It's not an urban legend. Like, I fully believe they're a real thing. But they're, like, alien slash shapeshifter type things.
Are those little, like, people look like stilts walking?
Kind of, yeah. And then I think they can shapeshift into, like, a wolf or something.
Mm-hmm. They just look like a white skinny pair of pants just walking by itself. Yeah. Right?
Kind of, yeah.
Is that?
A little bit, yeah. They're very, very scary.
Yeah.
And I've held off doing it because I don't want to do the research on it. But I have my research to start on that in the last week of February, first week of March, when hopefully it's going to be lighter out later. I plan that and Annabelle. I plan to do it when it's like lighter out a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can not be scared.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Actually, you know what?
The sun's already down here.
Yeah, it's been dark here since we started recording. I actually have Annabelle set to record when I come back home.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Be prepared for that. Make that happen. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. And, I don't know what I was going to say there, but that's that. Thank you for listening, and we will chat with you next Thursday.
Bye, everyone.